Coming up on KHCP News, Governor Walker announces the 2016 PFD, and Senator Murkowski tells Washington she won't back down on the King Cove Road. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint. I'm Marissa Williams with some local news on Monday, September 26, 2016. Governor Bill Walker announced in a pre-recorded video on Friday exactly how much Alaskans will receive in this year's permanent fund dividend check.
There you go, $1,022. So I'm glad that given our loss of 80% of our revenue, we are able to have a dividend over $1,000, and I will look forward to working with the legislature to ensure that that will continue on for generations to come.
This year's PFD could have been twice as much, but Walker vetoed half the money appropriated to dividends earlier this year, while the state battles a $4 billion deficit. APRN's Rasha Machekstein went out to learn how people feel about the smaller dividends this year.
Do you know how much the PFD is this year?
What it should be tomorrow should be about $1,500.
My guess is maybe about $1,200.
I know it's not what it should be.
That's right. This year is a little bit different because this year we already know what it's going to be. Back in July, Governor Bill Walker vetoed about half the money set aside for the PFD, arguing that the state can't afford it. His veto capped the dividend at about $1,000. Without the veto, there would have been about $1.4 billion available for dividends.
That number would equal a little bit over $2,000 per Alaskan.
That's Tax Division Director Ken Alper. He and Walker argue that with the current budget crunch, the state couldn't afford that amount. As oil prices have crashed over the last 2 years, the state has covered billions in budget deficits by drawing from its savings account. If lawmakers continue on their current path, they'll burn through the state's primary savings account in about 2 years. Then they'll have to use the account the dividends come out of. Right now, that account has about $7 billion in it. At current spending levels, it will be drained in a few years as well. Then there wouldn't be money for the budget or dividends.
That could go away in another couple of years. And when the governor talks about in 2020, the dividend would go away unless there's a fiscal plan, that's just not an idle threat. It's a mathematical fact.
Alper and Walker want lawmakers to restructure the permanent fund and pass a combination of taxes and spending cuts to balance the budget. And in the meantime, they say we shouldn't spend the nearly $700 million it would have taken to give everyone in the state $2,000 checks this year. For now, that money is just staying in the account.
It's not going anywhere. It remains in the earnings reserve. It continues to be invested, and it's going to be producing income for future generations.
A lot of people aren't happy with the idea that Walker is messing with the permanent fund. One lawmaker sued. For a lot of Alaskans, that fund is inviolate. Anchorage resident Daryl Shaw was born in Alaska. His daughter was born just in time for the first dividend check in 1982. And he says when the fund was started, it was supposed to be untouchable.
I'm not, the sharpest tool in the shed, and I'm not a politician, but I'm an Alaskan. And I just don't think it's right for Governor Walker to actually reach into that fund and be able to even touch it in any way, shape, or form.
But the amount of this year's dividend in and of itself isn't uncommon. In fact, if you take an average over the last 33 years that Alaskans have gotten dividend checks, it's just under $1,100. We talked to Alaskans in Anchorage, Juneau, and Unalaska, and a surprising number said that $1,000 is good enough for them.
That's fine. It's better than taxing me.
If you're on a fixed income, it makes a difference. Yeah, you count on it. You do. But I guess I'm thinking that $1,000 is a pretty fair cap.
Well, I always joke that people call it the permanent dividend fund, thinking that the dividends are what's permanent. The dividends are not permanent. They're very temporary. They're a way of getting the public to support the necessity of saving money for the future. But the future's here.
And one way or another, the future means smaller dividends. From Alaska's Energy Desk in Anchorage, I'm Rasha McChesney.
U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski has brought some of her most controversial Alaska bills before the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, which she chairs. There are only a few legislative days left before Congress takes a recess for the election, so the bills stand almost no chance of becoming law in this Congress. But as APRN's Liz Ruskin reports, Murkowski still hopes they'll pack a punch.
The most ambitious of the bills Murkowski brought to the committee reads like the Alaska delegation's master wish list, the things they've been trying to convince Congress to pass for decades. The bill would open part of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling. It would mandate lease sales west of the refuge in the National Petroleum Reserve and offshore. In the Tongass National Forest, it would allow new roads and carve out a new state forest. Murkowski says Alaska needs to develop these federal resources.
Right now, we're facing pretty much a brick wall of opposition in these areas.
Conservation groups and their Senate allies sound the alarm whenever efforts like these seem close to passage. This did not appear to be one of those times. The top Democrat on the committee, Maria Cantwell of Washington, objected, but only dryly.
Similarly, I've fought for many years to protect the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, the Tongass National Forest, and important conservation lands in Alaska, which are important to all Americans.
Murkowski later told reporters in a phone conference that some of the provisions are intended to stake out her position on new oil production, for instance, for this administration or the next. One of her bills calls for the Interior Secretary to develop a plan to add 500,000 barrels of oil per day to the Trans-Alaska pipeline.
Okay, we know that that's not something that we're going to see. It's not going to happen within that Congress. That is certainly telling the next administration, I want to see what your plan is. Here's our plan here.
The senator says other provisions are realistic before President Obama leaves office. She cited the Alaska Mental Health Trust land trade. It would allow the trust to get land in the Tongass to avoid logging near Ketchikan and Petersburg. Murkowski saved most of her passion for the long-discussed King Cove Road. It would connect King Cove to an all-weather airport at Cold Bay, but it would go through the Eisenbeck Wildlife Refuge. Murkowski keeps count of the number of emergency medical evacuations King Cove residents have had to endure since 2013, when Interior Secretary Sally Jewell rejected a land trade for the road. It's 52 so far. Jewell wasn't at the hearing, so Murkowski gave BLM Director Neil Kornsey a